All right. Well, if you have your Bibles, we're going to go to Luke chapter 2. If you don't, that's okay. And I won't keep you long this morning. I appreciate you already being here and being so faithful to God's house. As I said already, I greatly thank you for being so faithful in this year. I can't believe it's already Christmas. Can you? I mean, this year has gone by so quick. And I just appreciate all of you being here. As I watched that video, it stirs your heart, at least I hope it did, to think about that precious baby boy that was born. And he was not rolled out the red carpet, was he? It was not a plush, very nice, elegant delivery room. He was born in a barn. He was born in a stable and then put in that old horse trough, that cow trough, whatever you want to call it. And that's our Savior. And he said that. Luke chapter 2, I'm sure very familiar to you. But I just want to read the Christmas story and share a few thoughts with you this morning. And then we'll get on our way. Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius, the governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Again, prophetic statements being made to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. What a wonderful story. I'm sure you know it well. But as we think about today, and we've been looking at this in the month of December, this birth was the most unique birth in all of human history, isn't it? It transformed and changed this world. And it was prophesied many, many years prior, and it came to pass just as the Bible said. Let me remind you of a few things this morning, if I can. We have a Bible that is accurate. We have a Bible that is infallible. We have a Bible that we believe the Bible says of itself in 2 Timothy 3:16 and in other places, that this Bible is inspired by God Almighty. The word inspired means God breathed. He literally breathed these words, gave them. Peter emphasizes the fact and says, holy men of God were moved to pen the words. They weren't just written by man. We have some religions. We have other belief systems that believe man gave them a book. There's the Book of Mormon, given by a man. There is the books and writings of Charles Taze Russell, predominantly Jehovah's Witnesses. There is the writings of Muhammad, those writings. Let me say something very clearly what we believe here. And I don't want to offend anybody, but I'm unashamed to say it. This book trumps all other books. This book is above all other writings of any human being. But we have an actual book full of factual information. I'm so thankful to have that, aren't you? But also we have a God, a Savior, that is legitimate. He's legit. And I'm so thankful. He did exactly what He said He was going to do. And according to the exact plan that He said. It's amazing to me as I read the story. If you go to the book of Matthew, you find a little bit more detail, a little bit different. But those wise men came from the east. And you wonder, how did they know? How did they know the approximate time? How did they, you know what they were following? The writings of a man of God. They were following what we call the Scripture of the Old Testament. We think about today, we have not only an infallible word, an accurate word, we have a legitimate Savior. Notice a couple things with me here this morning. We see here, though, that we find the characters around Christ. He used a man by the name of Joseph. Now Joseph, if you do any what we call etymology or study of words, you do any, especially names. Names are very important in the Bible, very important. And Joseph is a very important name, isn't it? You go back in the Old Testament, you find that. Joseph, but he came forth and he was not a wealthy man by any means, was he? And by the way, God does that. If you read your Bibles, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians talk about God doesn't look for the famous. God doesn't choose when he goes to reach for a tool in the tool bin. He doesn't reach for the wealthy, per se. He uses them. He doesn't look for the super talented people. Praise the Lord for that, in my case. He doesn't use it. What's he look for? He looks for the humble. He looks for the lowly. He looks for those kind of characters, doesn't he? And Jesus does the same today. He took this man who was a carpenter. Undoubtedly, his hands were blistered. He had splinters. His knees were calloused. His back was sore constantly. So most of you men in here know what that's like. You work and labor every day doing those things. That's what he was. And he came to this man and used him. He used a little girl by the name of Mary. The Bible says some things about Mary, and you know them, but she was a very kind girl. She was a very humble girl. She, in fact, when the angel came, remember what she said? She said, basically, me? You're talking to me? I think you got the wrong person. Hail thou highly favored of the Lord. How do we get favor in God's eyes? Not the world standards. Not money, riches, fame, fortune, and good looks. What is it? It's the opposite. Humble people. My friends, can I encourage you, as we approach the new year coming up, to really seek the Lord and ask, Lord, use me. I'm not much. I can't do much. But I want you to use me. And Paul emphasizes that in Romans 12. You know that. He says what? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Lord, you don't want my money, talents, and fame. No, I don't want it. I want your body. I want what you have. And we say, well, thank God, that's what I can offer. God wants to use you. Would you offer it to him? These two individuals did just that very thing. They went. They were honest. They had integrity. They didn't have to go back and pay taxes and do all that they were supposed to. They did it out of integrity. They were honest, upright people. And go through it. Verse number 6. While they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Those of you that have children, you remember those days. My wife, with one of our kids, we had to drive about an hour to the hospital. We were living in another city. And we came to the stoplight. I said, honey, I'm just going to go over here and get a hotel room first before we go. And she grabbed me by the arm and said, you better not. She's coming out. I said, oh, you know, I hurried up and drove over, sped over, squealed into the emergency entrance there and everything else. You know how that goes. It was time. It was time. And you see, they weren't really prepared for that, but they did the best they could. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. We already looked at what swaddling clothes are. But those are basically death rags. They would take a dead body and wrap it in swaddling clothes. They're rags. Basically, rags that they would throw away, but they'd tear them in long strips and they'd wrap that body up. And all they had was those swaddling clothes. And a great, great statement and understanding that we find that Jesus was born to die. And you imagine as a mother or father holding that precious baby and yet still knowing the end result of that baby. Knowing already, being told by the angel, by the Lord himself, that he would have to go and die for our sins. I couldn't imagine, but that's exactly, he was born to die. He was laid in a manger, nothing plush, nothing extravagant, nothing of any kind of expense, simply a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. The world today has no room for us as Christians. Remember that. Jesus said they'll hate you. Why? Because they hated me first. And when you face backlash from the world, you must be doing something right for the Lord. I'm not saying go out again and be annoying and be divisive with everybody, but we're to live for the Lord. And there's some things that we won't compromise on. There are some things in your home and your marriage that you should not compromise on. You say, I'm not going to do that. Why? Because the Bible says. And you know what the world's going to do? No room. And he went door to door. My wife's about to give birth. Can you help us? No room. Not one person said, you know what? You can come in and have our bed. We're fine. We'll share the other. Not one person. Can you believe that? Not one person opened their door to this man. Not one. That's the world. We must be cautious, careful, live for the Lord, be unashamed. Paul says, I'm unashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it's the power of God unto salvation. As we share the gospel with friends and family, you invite them to church, you're unashamed of it. And listen, people want to see something authentic and real. They do. Half-hearted, wishy-washy Christians. I deal with that all the time. We're always dealing with other, you know, you folks have friends like that. I'm sure you do. They want something real. They want something authentic. And we stand for the truth. Can I say verse 8? They were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field. Jehovah es mi pastor. Pastor. Shepherd. That's what it is. It's a shepherd. God gives pastors, God gives shepherds, but He gives people to come alongside of you. Can I encourage you to join our church and be a part of our church and be faithful to our church in the new year? You think about it, we need to lock arms together. We need to be together as Christians. There's coming a time. I hate to say it, and it sounds a little bit depressing and negative, but you all know it. You've lived long enough. In the new year, there's coming problems. There's financial problems. There's marital problems. There's all kinds of problems coming. We know it. Now, I want to encourage you, get close to the Lord. Come and meet with us. But notice the shepherds, they were abiding in the field. They're watching, doing what they were supposed to do. The pastor is likened throughout Scripture as that shepherd. Peter says to the pastors there, as he encouraged them, he said what? Feed the flock. Woe be the pastor or shepherd that does not feed the flock. Both Isaiah and Jeremiah talk about that. Woe be the shepherds that go out and don't give the flock anything to eat and don't even protect the flock and don't take care of them. We think about that. You have friends here. I hope you know that. And you have a pastor here, a shepherd here. I hope you know it. I pray for all of you every week. I hope that you know I'm here to help if I can. That's what I want to do. Verse 9, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were sore afraid. Sore afraid. The angel said, fear not. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to how many people? All people. I'm glad for that. For God so loved a certain group of people that He gave His only begotten Son. Don't say that, does it? For God so loved the world that encompasses everybody. Everybody. My friends, today, if you don't know the gospel, if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, today would be a great day to do that. You don't have to even come to me. You read the Bible. I could point you in the right direction, but I'd love to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. It'd be a great day. You could start to hear out just right, knowing Him. Do you know Him as your personal Savior? That's the first step in the will of God. Do you know Him? The gospel is very clear. Jesus Christ came. He died for our sins. He was, as we said before, He was the deity incarnate, God manifested in the flesh. He was sinless. He was impeccable. And because of that sinless, pure blood, He could die for all of humanity. What do we do? Do we work for that? No. Do we come to church? It's good, but not necessary. Do we give our tithes and offerings? Good, not necessary. What is it? It's faith. You accept what God, Jesus, did on that cross. And He was justified and justifies all of us by rising again the third day. See, He proved it. He proved it to be true. He proved it. And we know that. Do you know Him as your Savior? And we see it. Let me close out with this last point. Verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. People ask today, why is there no peace in the world? If He promised this, why is there no peace? Because we failed to obey the first part. When we do not glorify God and put Him in His proper place, there will be no peace on this earth. We see it today. Wars, rumors of wars, backbiting, fighting, all kinds of things going on. To talk about the things we're against, we know. This thing that we hate of killing these babies, this abortion and other things. You see it all around the world, don't we? The turmoil of our world. The tragedies all around us. And you think about it. Why? We don't glorify God in the highest. Our government has taken God down off of His throne. Our public schools have taken God off of the throne. Our world is in a whole has taken God out and off of His rightful place. Now, praise be to God, we know our Bibles, He's still in control. Amen. He came the first time as a suffering lamb, an innocent little baby. And they mocked Him and beat Him and made fun of Him. And as a child, they called His mother a you-know-what. They did all these. The Bible says he was a man acquainted with grief. His daily life was grievous, was hard. But let me tell you something. Let me remind you of this, and praise God. He's coming the second time as a roaring lion, and he's going to take care of business. Amen and amen. And I can't wait for that day. And I hope you're on the winning side with us. Goodwill toward men. Goodwill toward men. Oh, and the shepherds went, verse 15, let us go unto Bethlehem and see the thing. How did they know? He said, there's a sign. Do we go door to door to find the baby? He says, no, you don't got to do that. In fact, it'll be so unique, you'll find a baby in the horse trough, in the manger. Just a quick reminder of us and to us today. What you see is negative or something that is maybe, God, why didn't you provide a hotel room or a nice delivery room for us? God, how could you do that? Well, hang on a second. God may use that to point people in the right direction. God may use your trials, your heartache, I hate to say it, but your tragedies to maybe point other people in the right direction. And they go, whoa, look at Brother Tim. Look what he did. Look what he came through. Look what God's doing in his life. Today as we celebrate this, and I must close out, but I appreciate you being here. I said that so many times, but I truly do. I hope that you know that Jesus loves you. I hope you know that. He loves you, unconditionally, by the way. You say, well, I've sinned too much. I've done too many wrong things. That don't matter. He loves you unconditionally, just like a parent. Unconditionally. But he desires a relationship with you. If you don't have one with him, I'd encourage you to start one. Secondly, though, if you do know him, he wants you to get closer to him. Go ahead and get closer. You'll never regret one day that you tried to get closer to the Lord. Ah, I shouldn't have spent time trying to study the Scriptures. Ah, I don't know why I prayed. I don't know why we prayed together as a couple. I don't know. We should have just watched the football game instead. It's hard now, but in the future, you'll not regret one day you came to church. Not regret one day you spent time with the Lord. Get closer to Him. Get closer to Him as you celebrate that today. And lastly, let me just say, one day we'll all stand before Christ at the great judgment. That day's coming. It's reiterated in the Bible over and over, the great judgment day is coming. We'll all stand before Him, and the old adage goes, only one life will soon be passed, but only what's done for Christ will last. Paul talks about how it's put through the fire. Wood, hay, and stubble will be burned up. You know what that is? Materialism, money, all the things we chase after. I'm guilty of that. Chasing after. Gold, silver, precious stones will withstand the fire. That's the testing time. What is that? You being here today, you put forth an effort to share the faith or the gospel with the people around you, you striving to work at your marriage when it's tough and say, Lord, I want to do it for the Lord. I want to do it to help others. All of those things that you work after. My friends, do you know Him today? If you don't, let me take the Bible and take about 10 minutes of your time and share with you the gospel. I'd love to do that. Those of you that know the gospel that you're already saved, I'd encourage you today, take time. Thank the Lord. Go home if you have time, read the Christmas story, pray together, whatever you do. But remember the reason that we're here, the reason. I can't stand when they do X-mas, can you? They put the X in front of miss. I don't like that. I hate that. I want to emphasize Christ in Christmas. That's why we're here. Christ, Christ, it's all about Him. I want to say thank you. Kids, thank you so much for helping. Brother Ryan, Miss Suzette, thank you so much for your help. Brother Adam, Miss Stephanie, all of you that helped so much. I appreciate you helping us with this program, and we're hoping to get better and better each year. And I apologize you had to listen to me so much. Okay, I thank you, though, for coming and listening. But I hope you have a good day today. I appreciate your faithfulness. I pray God blesses you today. Be safe, please. And don't run off. We've got some goodies for you in the back there, and we'll get those to you. Okay? Thank you so much. Well, would you stand with me, and we'll have a word of prayer and dismiss this morning. Again, I say this often, but if you need anything, if I can do anything to help in any way, please don't hesitate to ask. Don't hesitate to call or shoot me a text, something. That's why I'm here. I want to be a blessing and a help if I can. So please let me know that, okay? We appreciate all of you. Love you all. Thank you so much. Lord, thank you for this morning again and an opportunity today to gather in your house. I know many people are not, but Lord, we as Christians that know the truth, we're here because we want to celebrate what you've done. The very least we can do, Lord, is celebrate your birth after all you've done, not only for us on the cross and our eternal salvation, but Father, on a daily basis, you bless all of us incredibly, incredible blessings. We think of people right now we're praying for that are in the hospital. We think of others that are dying of certain diseases or problems or ailments that they have. We think of others that are going through heartache and pain and separation and division. But Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be here. Oh, how we lift your name up. We pray you'd help us, Lord, not only today, but as we approach the new year, to live for you. Give us your strength. Give us your wisdom. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.